I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist. Welcome to Module 4.
Let's talk about astral travel through three-dimensional matter. Now, as I've already explained, three-dimensional matter is matter in our physical universe. Plants, cars, houses, buildings, pavement, air, everything that you physically come into contact with in the physical universe. That's what I'm talking about when I say three-dimensional matter. And remember, I use the term three-dimensional to mean the physical world that our physical body lives in, and four-dimensional when I talk about the astral world. So when I talk about the third dimension, I'm talking about the physical world. When I talk about the fourth dimension, I'm talking about the astral world. Those words are not always used that way. That's the way I use them. So understand that in my programs on astral projection, when I talk about three-dimensional and four-dimensional, that's what I'm talking about. If you talk to a mathematician or a physicist about the fourth dimension, you'll get a different answer. But for the sake of you and I having a conversation that makes sense, I'm going to use those terms so that you will know what I'm talking about. But realize that the three-dimensional world is your physical universe that your physical body lives in, and the four-dimensional world is the astral world. So when we talk about traveling through three-dimensional matter in your astral body, remember that you can pass right through it. Whether it's a countertop or a vehicle or the entire Earth or the sun, you can pass right through it. The challenge comes in when you start remembering that your physical body is generally unable to do this. I say generally unable because I feel that physics will eventually develop a way that we can do this. If you remember our conversation about teleportation. Also, interestingly enough, according to quantum theory, there's a probability that at any given time, all of the molecules of your physical body may teleport far away. According to quantum theory, that is possible. But we usually don't see that, and I've never seen that in my lifetime. The odds are very remote that will happen. So for all practical purposes, we can say that in your physical body, you are not going to pass through physical objects, but in your astral body, you are, because those objects are no longer physical to you. Your astral body is vibrating at a higher frequency. So think of your astral body similar to radio waves, or any waves that you may be familiar with that travel through the air and can travel through structures. The waves that are used to communicate with a radio are actually not very efficient. They can be affected by land masses such as mountains and hills and so forth. So perhaps thinking of them in terms of waves that are even more powerful than that, the waves that reach your cell phone, for example, not always 100% efficient either, of course. Reception doesn't always happen. But I want you to start thinking along those lines of waves that can penetrate anything. That's how your astral body is. Your astral body can move through any three-dimensional matter because it's in a different dimension. Now, sometimes you will see physical structures very clearly in your astral body. That's why we are having this discussion. That's why I've created an entire module on this. Because when you see them from your astral body, you also start to recognize them as being solid, even though they aren't. You still take with you the training, in many cases, from your physical body. If you were to walk into a wall, you would stop. The wall would stop you with your physical body. If you were to walk into a wall with your astral body, you would continue going. Now, I'm not talking about the structures in the astral world. Astral structures, astral buildings, and anything else you may see. Those structures to your astral body are solid, but to your physical body are not. Your physical body walks through astral buildings and structures of all kinds every day without you realizing it. That's because those structures in the astral world are at a higher vibratory rate. The molecules of your physical body will pass right through them, and vice versa. The components of the astral buildings and so forth, and astral creatures of all kinds, including humans astral projecting, will pass right through physical structures, including your body. So keep in mind that important distinction. Things are only solid to like matter. In other words, astral structures are solid to your astral body, and physical structures in the three-dimensional world are solid to your physical body. But when you mix that up, objects can pass right through each other. Three-dimensional objects can pass right through four-dimensional objects, and four-dimensional objects can pass right through three-dimensional objects. So, having established all that, we still have the psychological barrier of coming up against a brick wall, if you will. More than just a metaphor for our situation, We can actually use the brick wall as an example. Let's say, for example, that you are traveling in your astral body, and in a few feet in front of you, or 1 meter in front of you, there is a brick wall. But it's a brick wall in the three-dimensional world that you're seeing in the fourth-dimensional world. And it's probably going to appear hazy. If you've ever seen ghosts or anything from the astral world while in your physical body, or if you've even seen ghosts depicted on TV or movies, you realize that they usually appear like smoke. They don't appear solid. In many cases, that's the way three-dimensional objects appear when we're in the fourth dimension. They appear hazy, but sometimes they appear solid. Sometimes they appear more solid and more clear than they do when you're in your physical body looking at them. This depends on a number of factors. It depends on your experience, how experienced you are as an astral traveler. It depends on how rested you are. If you're weary, then you may be more attached to the physical world. You may be seeing physical objects more clearly. It also depends on what you are focused on, because you can focus on anything at any time. You can focus on astral structures, or you can focus on three-dimensional structures in your astral body. Interestingly enough, you can become proficient at seeing astral structures while in your physical body, and seeing ghosts, and seeing people astral travel, and so forth. And by the way, ghosts are nothing more than entities lacking a physical body. They don't have anywhere to go home to, if you will. They don't have a silver cord attaching them to a body, but that's okay. They are the natural residents, if you will, of the astral world. They may at some point go back into a body, begin a physical life, or they may just remain entities. But you can learn to see them, no matter what the case. You can learn to see them from your physical body. But right now, we want to focus on three-dimensional structures that you're seeing in the astral world. Because when you come up to that brick wall, and you're a few feet or a meter in front of it, you may think, I need to go around this, even though you know, factually, you have the knowledge that that is not a solid object to you. Your mind can still work against you. It can say, wait a minute, that's a brick wall. No one goes through a brick wall. And so many astral travelers for years will walk through doorways, look for open windows, go around walls, and this is completely unnecessary. The way to know that you're in that category is when you astral project, you'll leave your window open or a pathway to the outside open. You leave a series of doors open so you can get outside. And you don't need to do this. You can astral travel right through your roof and right through any wall. So I want you to become comfortable with doing this. Now, as I've said, it's always better if you can practice this while in your astral body. But if not, then the next time you're astral projecting, I want you to practice this. I want you to find a solid structure. I want you to find your brick wall. If you have a brick wall in mind, that's great. If not, you can just use a wall in your house. You can use a wall in your bedroom, right near your bed if you want. And I want you to practice going through it. Easiest way to do this is just to imagine yourself on the other side using the quantum teleportation technique. Just imagine yourself on the other side. Instantly teleport there. That's the easiest way to do it. That avoids all of the hassle of passing through the wall. However, I also want to teach you how to do it the slow way. Because if you're just learning to astral project, or if you're not comfortable passing through three-dimensional objects yet, then the slow way can be the best way to learn. And that just means going through the wall slowly. What you're going to notice as you pass through any three-dimensional object is a sensation. This sensation is mainly there because of your programming to think that it is a physical structure. But it's also there because, for some reason, three-dimensional molecules interact with the astral world. If they didn't, you wouldn't see them at all. They would be completely invisible to you. But there is some sort of interaction, and you will have sensations due to passing through something. Part of this is psychological, thinking, oh my goodness, I'm passing through a wall. Got to be some sort of feeling here, some sort of feeling of the wall as the molecules interact with the particles that make up my astral body. But another part of it is the actual interaction between the two worlds. You are actually detecting something that is there. But none of this will slow you down. None of this will prevent you from going through that wall. Even though there is some sort of interaction, some sort of feeling, it's not going to slow you down. So, I want you to get used to traveling through different structures. So the next time that you have the opportunity, if it's right now, that's great. If it's tonight or later this week, that's fine too. The next time you have the opportunity, I want you to stand in front of a wall that you consider to be solid. The thicker, the better. Some walls and houses are made of drywall, and they have a big hollow space in the middle. If you can find a solid wall, that would be best. But a wall made out of drywall is fine also, because you are not going to, in most cases, pass through that with your physical body. So it's going to be unusual for you to do that. So it will serve as a fine practice wall. So as you stand in front of it, a few feet or a meter, I want you to slowly advance toward it, floating or imagining floating or simulating walking in your astral body. And I want you to move through it slowly. Even if you can teleport through it, I want you to move through it slowly. And notice the sensations that you get. Usually it will seem to be some sort of physical sensation. And remember, it's both a combination of psychology and astral physics. You are actually experiencing something, some sort of interaction between the molecules of that object and your astral body. But it doesn't slow you down at all. So continue walking through it to the other side, and I want you to go back and forth through the wall 10 times. Walk one time through it, then back, that's two, back again, that's three, and so forth, up to 10. If you're doing this now, great. If you're doing it in the future, that's fine too. That sets the stage for the other steps that I want you to take in this journey, the other steps that I want you to take as you become comfortable with three-dimensional matter. Nothing's going to stand in your way. Nothing's going to stop you or even slow you down. But I want you to have firsthand experience with that so that you know it. The next thing that I want you to imagine going through is water. Now, water, for some reason, causes even more of a psychological reaction because we're thinking, wait a minute, we're not able to breathe underwater in our physical bodies. We're not designed to do that, and that's okay. But for some reason, we don't get so concerned, and I've noticed this with many astral travelers, we don't get so concerned walking through a solid brick wall as we do going through water when it comes to our breathing. Think about it now. If you're going through a solid brick wall that's a foot thick or a third of a meter thick, that's a thick brick wall. And if you're walking through it, it makes logical sense that you would be thinking, well, it's difficult to breathe while walking through this thick brick wall. But for some reason, people don't psychologically equate walking through a thick brick wall to being unable to breathe properly, but they do equate it with water. And the reason is we don't have experience in our physical bodies, in most cases, of walking through thick brick walls, but we do have experience with water, being underwater, holding our breath underwater. I want to emphasize, of course, that unless you've got some sort of breathing apparatus with oxygen in your physical body, you will always need to hold your breath underwater. But in your astral body, you don't need to, because your astral body is not breathing anyway. It's getting energy from your kundalini, from your silver cord, from your higher self, from the universe. So your astral body is able to travel through water without breathing, because it's able to travel through anything without breathing. Your physical body will continue breathing. So it becomes very important as you travel through water for you to not hold your breath, because I don't want you to cause your physical body to hold its breath. It's unnecessary. So you're not holding your breath ever when you're astral projecting. It's unnecessary. So let's practice this either now or sometime in the future. But the exercise goes like this. You will find yourself at a large body of water in your astral body. And what I'd like you to do in your astral body, physical body is safe at home and breathing normally. Your astral body, I want you to walk into the water. Now, if you are afraid of water, you don't need to do this exercise. What I do want you to do, however, is get one of my hypnosis recordings to overcome fear of water. But I do not want you to do this exercise if you're afraid of water, because I don't want to exacerbate that situation. I want you to get help for that somewhere, and then if you want to do this exercise, you can. So if you're afraid of any of the exercises that I'm going to do, you don't need to do them. But I would like you to seek help for that, get over that fear, and then come back to these exercises. But let's say that you're not afraid of water, and you're standing in front of a body of water in your astral body. I'd like you to simulate walking. Remember, your astral body doesn't really walk, but I'd like you to simulate walking. Or you can float forward, but you're floating forward deeper and deeper into the water. Now, this can be a wonderful experience. To start, I just want you to put your head under the water. Now, realize you're not putting your head underwater at all, because the water is in a different dimension. It's in the third dimension. Your astral body is in the fourth dimension. So go ahead and put your head, your astral head, under the water just for a second and take it back out. How was that? If you're going to do this exercise in the future, ask yourself, how was that? What did it feel like? Do you feel wet? Do you feel as if your body's covered with water? Sometimes we do get those sensations. Remember, they're both based on psychology and astral physics. But it shouldn't be a feeling of actually being drenched as if you were actually in water. It should be a slight reminder of that feeling, but nowhere near as powerful. In other words, if your physical body were immersed in water, you would feel wet, you would feel soaked. But your astral body immersed in three-dimensional water should not feel that way. You should feel a slight hint of the sensation, sort of like if someone sprays perfume off in the distance and the wind is blowing your way, and you're fairly far from them. By the time it gets to you, you smell a slight hint of the perfume. But if you were right next to that person when they sprayed it, you would smell it full force. That's the difference between the astral body and the physical body. The astral body senses it as if at a distance, whereas the physical body senses it as if right next to it. It's real for your physical body, and it's a modification of that strong feeling for your astral body. It's not as strong. It's about maybe 10% as strong. So the next step I want you to do is to hold your head, your astral head, under the water for about 30 seconds, okay? So you can do this now as I'm talking if you want, or you can do this later, okay? The next step is that you're going to hold it under even longer. Now, if at any time you become uncertain about your ability to do this, or you become upset for any reason, feel free to bring your astral head above the water or return completely to your physical body. Remember, you are not doing these exercises with your physical body at all, only with your astral body. At no point in this program should you ever attempt to move your physical body through a wall or immerse your physical body in water as part of the program. We're talking about only your astral body, and this happens while your physical body is lying in bed or anywhere else that is safe and comfortable and not walking through a wall and not immersed in water. Okay, so having done that for 30 seconds, the next step is to move under the water for a distance. And I want you to do this for 1 minute, approximately 1 minute. You don't have to time it exactly, but I want you to move under that water for some distance. Now, some people move very quickly. They can cover an entire ocean in a second or the blink of an eye. I'd rather have you move slowly to experience the underwater sensations. And as you do this, look around. Perhaps it's nighttime and difficult to see, but realize that astral vision gives you the ability to see very clearly no matter what time of day it is, sort of like infrared vision at night. So realize that if there are three-dimensional fish to see, you can see them. If there's kelp or things growing, any kind of things underwater, you can see that too. But I want you to move for some distance now for a minute if you haven't already begun doing that, and just look around and see what there is to see, both astrally and in the third dimension. Look around and see what you can see from both worlds. Then after that, I want you to rise above the water again. Now, there's no need to towel off or to shake your head. There's no actual water on you. Your astral body does not attract molecules of water. Molecules of water do not adhere to your astral body, nor do cement molecules when you walk through a brick wall. You don't have to worry about brushing off afterwards or hurting the wall or even making a ripple in the water, because you won't. So I want you to rise above the water now and prepare for our next fun exercise. The next exercise that I want you to do is traveling for an extended period of time in your astral body underwater. So if you're doing it right now, great. If you're going to do it in the future, that's fine too. I want you to travel underwater astrally. And the way that you do this is by just relaxing and continuing to breathe with your physical body, but not even worrying about that, because there's really no need to pay attention to that. Your physical body breathes anyway. Sometimes we think that we're going to stop our physical body from breathing with our astral body, but we're really not. Our physical body is going to take care of itself just as if it were sleeping. Your body continues to regulate itself. But we can get concerned that we're holding our breath because we're psychologically programmed to think that we are still able to hold our breath even in our astral body. That's what I want to get you away from. So if you're traveling underwater right now, great. Going to do this in the future, fine. But I want you to continue to do it for as long as you feel comfortable doing it. If you want to use your entire astral experience doing it, that's fine. For right now, though, if you're doing it in real time as you're listening, we're going to move through other experiences. But as you're doing this, if at any time you feel that you need to come up for air, go ahead and do that. But I want you to get used to fighting that feeling, and not really fighting it per se in terms of it being something negative that you're working against, but in terms of ignoring it, because your astral body does not need to breathe air. and you're not really underwater anyway. Your astral body is underwater, but it's water that's in a different dimension. So it's not something that your astral lungs, if there were such a thing, could even breathe in. But the next thing I want you to do is to become accustomed to traveling through cement. Now, you may wonder, why cement? Now, it doesn't have to necessarily be cement. What I mean is having the ability to go through the ground at any point in time. It can be asphalt, it can be cement, it can be wood, but traveling through a solid structure that's beneath you. So I want you to, either now or in the future, have your astral body, quote-unquote, stand on something solid. And I'd like this to be something solid on the ground, because that's going to lead us to our next example, where you travel through ground. But I want you to stand on something. Now, I don't want you to be in the second floor of a building or the third floor. I want you to be on the ground floor of a building or outside on the street, somewhere where there's something solid that you know the next thing beneath that is ground. And I want you to just let yourself sort of melt like ice cream. That's the easiest way for me to describe this process. Sort of like melting ice cream, but accelerated melting. Perhaps you remember The Wizard of Oz, when the Wicked Witch was destroyed by water. All they had to do, as it turns out, is throw water on her, and she was destroyed. All that was left was her clothing. Or you may remember from Star Wars Episode 3, when Darth Vader slew Obi-Wan Kenobi. All that was left was his clothing. It's sort of like, in both cases, they melted right into the ground. Their bodies disappeared. That's the process that I want you to use when you practice this. That's the easiest way to learn it, because those things make sense to your mind. If you've seen either of those movies or both, then you already have a template for that process. If you've seen ice cream melt, then you already have a template for that process. So imagine that in both of those movies, they're actually ice cream, and they actually melted quickly. That's the process I want you to use. So have your astral body stand. Realize you're not standing at all because there's nothing solid beneath you. Your mind creates it to be that way. But you're hovering on the three-dimensional sidewalk or floor or something that's right above the ground, right above dirt, right above earth. And I want you to imagine melting down into it. Imagine that the particles of your astral body are melting, and they're going right through that structure. Rather than melting and making a puddle, they're going right through it. Okay, so imagine slowly melting into it. First, your legs melt into it. If at any time you feel uncomfortable with this, you can return to ground level, where you're completely above the solid structure. But your legs melt into it, your knees of your astral body, your hips, your torso. That's right, slowly but steadily melting into the ground, and your upper body. That's right, your arms, your shoulders, your neck, and last, your head. Completely underground. Now, as soon as you do that, I want you to come right back out, because it can be a little odd finding yourself underground. Now, as you do this, I want you to do it again, but as you do this, I want you to imagine that you still remain upright. In other words, when you're all the way underground and your head is beneath the level of the concrete or the wood floor or the asphalt, your body is still upright. Your feet are still beneath you. Your body is still standing vertically up and down. And your head, the top of your head, your astral head, is even with the bottom of the structure that you just went through. Wood, pavement, asphalt, whatever it may be. Okay, so let's do it again, slowly again, starting to melt through the substance. That's right, melting through the substance, melting through the concrete or whatever it may be, down to your legs. And by the way, if you're not yet an experienced astral traveler, and if you haven't left your body yet, if you're still in the beginning stages, I want you to realize that you can use these exercises also by just imagining them. That's going to help you in the future. Because as it turns out, you do get some points in your mind for imagining things. Your physical body responds physiologically. When you imagine throwing a baseball, your body responds physiologically. Even though your arm may not move, you're just imagining it, you do get a benefit from that. Well, your astral body benefits also from you just imagining doing something. So down to your torso now, melting into the ground, or imagining it, or planning it for the near future. That's right, up to your shoulders now, up to your chin, melting down the top of your head. Good, now come right back out. Okay, how was that? Or if you're going to do it in the future, ask yourself when you're done with it, how was it? Should be very interesting. Should be an interesting sensation sinking into the ground, slowly like that. The next exercise I want you to do is to do that again. You're going to melt into the ground, and then you're going to move forward underground for a few feet or for a meter. Okay, so let's do it again. Melting into the ground slowly, slowly, halfway in, and all the way in. Either doing it now, imagining doing it, or planning to do it in the future by paying careful attention to how I'm saying it and what I'm telling you to do. All right, now all the way down to the top of your head. That was faster that time. You're getting better at it. Now I want you to move forward. Psychologically, you may be thinking, I'm not even supposed to be in the ground, not to mention able to move in the ground, but I want you to push, literally push past that. Realize that those ground molecules of dirt and whatever they may be have no effect whatsoever in terms of slowing your astral body down. You're able to move forward. So move forward now. Feel the dirt. Notice the sensations of whatever it is you're walking through. You can imagine yourself walking. You can move your astral legs if you want, or you can just float forward. Now, after you do that, I want you to stop. I want you to stay underground. Be calm. You're still breathing. Your physical body's fine. If you feel that you absolutely must pop your head up above the ground, go ahead and do so. But I'd like you to leave your body underground. If you do pop your head up, put it right back down after you, quote unquote, get a breath. Soon you're going to realize that you don't need to do that at all, because there is no astral breath anyway. Okay, now continue walking underground. That's right, walking and relaxing underground. Continue walking. All right, good. I want you to come back up above the ground. I want you to practice that technique also. You now have several things to practice: going through a wall, going through water, going through a hard surface beneath your feet, and going through land or earth. Now I want you to practice going through metal. Now, metal, for some reason, tends to pose a particular challenge to astral travelers. I don't know if it's because of the density of metal, because it tends to be denser than concrete, for example, or if it's something about the way we think about metal, but there is something about metal that does tend to pose a challenge for astral travelers, and it used to pose a problem for me also. Traveling through doors was no problem. Traveling through the entire Earth was no problem. But traveling through metal, for me, was a challenge. And by the way, I like to use the word challenge instead of problem. When you're talking about something that you're going to overcome, it's always better to call it a challenge, because that sounds exciting. Climbing a mountain is a challenge. We're going to do it. It's going to happen. It implies it's going to happen. It may be difficult. There may be a struggle involved, but that's part of the excitement. That's part of the challenge. That's part of what you want as part of that process. That's part of the exhilaration. It makes it all the more worthwhile. The fact that it was difficult, the fact that it was something that you had to struggle during. So challenge captures all of that, the hero's journey. The word problem doesn't really capture any of that. Problem sounds like something that when I see it, I'm going to turn around and go the other way, because that's a problem and I don't want any problems. So when you're looking at something that you want to, I feel that it's better to call it a challenge. So let's look at the challenge of you going through metal. So I want you to find yourself, either now or imagining right now or at some point in the future, I want you to find yourself in front of something metal and make it something that's thick and metal. Now, remember as we practice these procedures that you never go anywhere that you are not supposed to go. So when we're traveling through walls of buildings, we don't go into buildings that we would not be invited in normally in our everyday life. If it's your office building, that's fine. If it's a building you're not supposed to be in, that's not fine, even in your astral body. So I want you to keep yourself clear of any challenges like that by only going to places that you're supposed to be. There are a lot of public places. And as far as traveling through the Earth, no one's really going to stop you from doing that. That's fine. As far as traveling in space, don't worry about that either. Traveling into certain buildings or certain vehicles or anywhere you're not supposed to be, don't do that. So I want you to find yourself in front of something that's metal. It can be your car, if you want it to be. It can be your garage door. The thicker metal, the better. Someplace that you're allowed to be, even in your three-dimensional world, and you're standing there in front of it in your astral body. Remember, all of these exercises are done in your astral body only and never in your physical body. Okay, so as you stand in front of that metal, about a meter or about 3 feet in front of it, same process as when you went through the cement wall, just go through it slowly. Now, when I go through metal, for some reason, I get a taste in my mouth, a metallic taste. To me, that's unexplainable, because my astral body does not have a mouth. There's no eating going on with the astral body, so there are no taste buds. I feel that this may be a psychological experience for me, but I do have the sensation of tasting metal. Metallic taste, if you've never had it, is a very distinct taste. It's not a very good taste, not a very bad taste, but it's very distinct. And that's the taste that I get, the taste of metal, when I walk through metal. So if you have any of these artifacts, so to speak, from your physical existence, that's okay. You may smell things occasionally, you may taste things occasionally. Realize that they're probably psychological experiences. Your mind puts them there because it thinks they should be there. So I want you now to travel through the metal, or do this in the future, or do it in your imagination, and then travel back and forth through the metal a few times. That's right. Now, if the metal or any other substance is posing a challenge for you, I want you to imagine, and this works very well for me because I've had to do this countless times, imagine the molecules of your astral body. Not that it has molecules. It's actually made up of particles, but they're not called molecules or atoms. But imagine the particles of your astral body. You can think of them as molecules if you want to. Imagine them spreading out even more. So that if you are naturally about a foot wide or a third of a meter wide, you become three times that. You become a full meter wide or 3 feet wide. And then you push through the metal or the cement or whatever it is you're trying to push through. The reason this tends to work is that you are actually able to shapeshift your astral body. We're going to talk more about that later, about creating and designing your astral world. But if you shapeshift your astral body, then you are dispersing the particles of your astral body even more so that they're able to go through the three-dimensional structure. Now realize that you don't have to do that. That's not necessary. But psychologically, when you do shapeshift your astral body, and realize that you are actually able to shapeshift your astral body, you're able to change the shape of it. When you do that, then psychologically it gives you the advantage of feeling that, okay, so I'm able to dissolve into it more easily. And then when you get through to the other side, you can go ahead and go back into your normal shape, the shape of your astral body, which is a replica of your physical body. Now this gets us into the whole topic of shapeshifting. Shapeshifting is completely unnecessary in the astral world. I want you to keep that in mind. It's not necessary for you to ever change shape in order to fit through something that you're noticing in the three-dimensional world. So in that regard, it's completely unnecessary. However, when it comes to astral structures in the astral world, remember, they're real to you, meaning they're solid to you. So you're not going to just walk up to an astral structure and use the same process. But with shape-shifting, you're able to do it. So let's take our conversation now and your practice to a different level. I want you to locate, or plan to do this in the future, or just imagine it, an astral structure. There are many structures. They often look like pyramids, but sometimes you will find a wall. Sometimes you will find something that looks like a wall with a window, with a hole in the middle of it. I want you to find a structure like that. And realize that your astral body is not going to pass directly through that, because that structure is solid to your astral body. However, you can shape-shift and go through it. So as you find yourself in front of an astral wall with a hole in it, and it doesn't matter how big or small the hole is, any size hole in that astral wall will be a hole that you can move through, and here's how you do it. I want you to take your astral body as it stands in front of that wall, and I want you to rotate it 90 degrees. Remember the Superman technique? Remember all the techniques that you learned about moving your astral body? Now they're going to come in handy. I want you to rotate your body 90 degrees so that you're parallel with the ground, or what would be the ground if you were in your physical body. And I want you to imagine becoming very long and thin, stretching out to the point that you can fit through that hole. You may have to become very long and very thin. That's okay, because you're able to shape-shift instantly. Make it a process if you want. Do it slowly if you want. Imagine your arms stretching out in front of you, your legs stretching out behind you. But no matter how small the diameter of that hole or that opening, no matter what shape it is, you are able to get your astral body thin enough to fit through it. So imagine standing in front of that wall, or actually do it right now, or plan to do it in the near future. Rotate your body 90 degrees so you're parallel with the ground. Shapeshift so that you start to stretch. Your fingertips stretch. You're in the Superman position now. Arms out right in front of you, legs behind you. You're shapeshifting now so that your arms are stretching out more and your legs are stretching out more. You're becoming very long and thin. The only time you'll have to change this is if there's another astral structure behind you blocking you from becoming very long and very thin. In that case, you'll have to kind of wrap yourself up a little bit. You're becoming long and thin, and now I want you to move through that hole very slowly. Good. And once you're all the way through, I want you to shapeshift back into your normal astral body shape. Now, we're going to talk more about this later, about shapeshifting, about changing your astral environment and so forth. But for right now, I want you to realize that shapeshifting is very powerful in terms of getting you around in the astral world. So I want you to practice that on your own. By the way, you can move into any shape you want. Let's talk now about astral travel through space. And when I say space, I mean the areas between planets, between stars, and so forth. Because perhaps up until now, you've been limiting yourself to just traveling in your room, or just traveling in your neighborhood, or just traveling on planet Earth, or just traveling through planet Earth. But I want you to realize that space travel is just as easy as any of those things. For me, the greatest obstacle to traveling through space in my astral body was overcoming my fear of heights. I have a natural fear of heights. And by the way, I feel that some fears keep us safe because, for example, the fear of heights, it can be very healthy to have a fear of heights because going very high does relate to increased danger. However, in your astral body, it does not relate to that. Psychologically, it does, though, because we're trained to think that, well, the higher we go, further we might fall, and the more we might get hurt. But in the astral body, that's not the case. The higher we go makes no difference whatsoever. In fact, you can change locations, as I've mentioned, in an instant just by thinking about it. So distance doesn't matter. Height doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter, except as it relates to your physical body. If you spend 2 hours in the astral world, it may seem like 5 minutes. But time is ticking in your physical world, and you may very well be late for your next appointment or for getting out of bed in the morning or whatever you're going to do next. But getting back to our discussion on height, I want you to overcome any fear of heights you may have in your astral body. Now, these exercises, I want to emphasize again, are never to be done in your physical body, only in your astral body. And if you haven't yet gotten to the point where you're astral traveling freely, you can imagine doing them now, and that practice in your mind will add to your ability to do those techniques in reality, in the astral world. But these are only to be done in your astral body in the astral world. So perhaps you're one of those people who doesn't have a fear of heights. I want to introduce you to the idea of space travel, and I want to share with you the possibility that you just might get a little concerned when you find yourself at 70 or 80 or 90,000 feet off the Earth's surface. And by the way, due to my interest in traveling between planets and solar systems and galaxies and so forth, I once asked an engineer, where does space start? Haven't you ever wondered that? How far off the Earth do you have to be before you encounter space? And the answer that he gave me was somewhere around slightly over 60,000 feet. He said there was no definite answer, but it was somewhere slightly over 60,000 feet. And if there are 3 feet in a meter, then that would be 20,000 meters. So approximately at that point, space starts. I want to emphasize that even if you are not afraid of heights, you may find it a little peculiar being up that high. You may find it a little peculiar being able to see the curvature of the Earth. And you may find it a little peculiar traveling through the darkness of outer space. Even astronauts who are trained to travel between Earth and the Moon found it a little peculiar to do so, even in the safety of a space capsule. Even when everything was planned and they had rehearsed and practiced for a long time and the entire world was watching and knew what was going to happen, they still felt a little out of sorts. So if you do, that's fine. You're not going to have a space capsule after all. So let's go ahead and get you over your fear of traveling in outer space, if you have a fear. And if you don't have a fear, then let's get you starting to travel in outer space, because there's no reason to not do it. And there's every reason to do it. So we're going to use the technique of your choice for this. We're going to use the Superman/Wonder Woman technique or the seated airplane technique. So either you're going to imagine your arms stretched out in front of you and you're flying, in this case, not flying horizontally, but flying vertically, flying straight up. Or you can imagine that you're sitting down and rising straight up. Or if you'd prefer, you can imagine rising at a 45-degree angle, rising up vertically. But I want you to do it in a way that is comfortable for you. As long as you're heading towards space, you're okay. You can imagine yourself balled up if you want to. You can ball up your astral body. You can tightly compact it until it's like a ball. You can travel that way if you want to. Remember, you are always protected by your white light when you astral project. You are safe. And remember that the elements of the three-dimensional world will not and cannot interfere with you. They're not going to hurt you, in other words. When astronauts re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, there are tremendous temperatures they have to face. You're not going to have to worry about that. That's not going to be a concern for you. Spaceships, such as the space shuttles, use tiles that are on the outside of the spaceship, tiles that can withstand tremendous temperatures. You're not going to have to worry about any of that. You are not going to be subjected to any of those situations. Again, you're either doing it now, or you're imagined doing it, or you're going to do it sometime in the near future. I want you to choose your position, balled up, Superman, seated airplane, whichever you choose. Choose your direction, either straight up or diagonally, and begin. And as you move up, I want you to relax. For me, it's very helpful to just look up. When I'm traveling up, I like to look up. Once I'm as high as I want to be, then I look down. But for me, I like to look up. That helps me focus on where I'm going. My body has a natural desire to be on the Earth. That's where it's been my whole life. That's where it wants to be. So when I look down, there's something that psychologically kicks in that makes me want to go back down to the Earth. And I start floating back downward. So in life and in astral projection, always look where you want to go. If you have a goal in life, focus on it. Cut out pictures of it, put it on your refrigerator. Focus on it all the time. In astral projection, same concept. If you want to go up, look up. So I want you to start rising, continue looking up. Eventually, you can develop your own technique. Perhaps you want to look down the whole time. That's fine. But for now, just look up. And I want you to go up to just above the buildings in your area. If they're low, that's fine. If they're high, that's fine. And I want you to stop there. And I want you to look down. And I want you to relax. Now, if you want to come back down immediately, that's fine. Realize that if you fall, you're not really falling at all. Your astral body is not going to hit anything and get hurt. But I want you to come back down now. I want you to ease into this process. Slowly coming back down now. Okay. Now let's go back up again, higher this time, twice as high as you were. Back up, floating upward, you're going to go twice as high as you were. And when you're there, I want you to stop and look down again. Except this time, I don't want you to go back down. If you start to go back down, look back up. Stay up there. I want you to look up again. Now, if I'm doing this too quickly for you, or any of these exercises too quickly, remember, you can do them at your own pace. I'm doing them at the average speed that my students in the past have done them. If it's too fast or too slow for you, that's fine. You can do it at your own pace, in your own time. But I want you to at least get the template, if you will, for the procedure. I want you to know how to do it. I want you to have the blueprint for how to do it so that you know how to do the practice exercises correctly and easily. Okay, now I want you to continue moving upward. Keep floating upward. Up to the level of the clouds, if there are any clouds. If not, float up to the level that you think the clouds would be at and continue moving upward. I want you to accelerate your movement. I want you to move now all the way into space. If at any time you feel uncomfortable, you can return to your body or to the ground, or you can go back down a little bit. That choice is always yours. But if you're still with me, keep moving upward into space. And once you're there, I want you to stop. Now realize that you got into space faster than the fastest rocket can currently get into space. Isn't that interesting? And you could have done it in an instant if you wanted to. But sometimes when we learn things, it's a little easier to do them slowly. So that's why I want you to have this experience. But as you practice this in the future, just teleport yourself up there. There's no need to take the scenic route unless you want to. I want you to look down at the curvature of the Earth. Good. You'll probably see it in much more clarity than you've seen it in any picture or any magazine anywhere or any movie, because your astral vision is very detailed. Now I want you to look up again, so to speak. In other words, away from the Earth. I want you to find something else, some nearby planet, or perhaps the moon. And I want you to move toward it. Go to it. And as you go to it, you are relaxed and calm. Now I want you to arrive at that planet or the moon. And although that planet or that moon is not solid to you, I want you to stand, so to speak, on the surface of it. Realize that you can move right through the surface of it if you want to, but I want you to stand with your astral body on the surface of it. This is going to make the most psychological sense to you and allow you to experience it. Good. Now I want you to leave the moon or that planet, and I want you to move toward another planet. Or if you weren't just at the moon, you can move toward the moon now. You're leaving where you were and going to a different place. And as you travel, you are relaxed, traveling in any manner you want, Superman technique, seated technique, traveling balled up, however you want to travel, it doesn't matter. But due to your experience, you should have some control over the way you travel now. You're at least able to travel looking forward with your astral face facing forward, facing in the direction that you're going. And hopefully you're developing your astral vision so that you can see in every direction and really take in all the beautiful sights. And now you're arriving at the next planet or at the moon if you weren't there before, and you're relaxed as you stand there on the surface and look around. Now I want you to travel back to the Earth's surface, but this time I really want you to pay attention to the sensations that you're getting. How do you feel? Do you feel cold in space? Do you feel warmer on the planet? These are sensations that your mind puts there because it feels they should be there. Now in the future when you do this, I want you to realize you can travel through the planets. You can travel to the sun. You can travel through the sun. You can travel to other galaxies, focus on other solar systems. But now I want you to travel back to the Earth. And as you do, I want you to pay attention to the sensations that you have. Just really take it all in. This is going to help you get back out there because it's going to be the familiar feeling technique. Also pay attention to the sights. Anything that your senses are experiencing or telling you, pay attention to that because that is going to tie into the familiar senses of all kinds. Those specific techniques that you have for the familiar senses. It's going to allow you to get back there. So log it in. Pay attention to how it feels. And everywhere you go, start doing this. Attention to how it feels so you can get back there more easily by just thinking about how it feels. How do you feel emotionally? When traveling through space, I'm almost speechless. Such a beautiful experience. Very exhilarating for me. So it's easy for me to get back there using the familiar feeling technique because my feelings are so strong about that. Such a wonderful emotional experience. And also, psychologically, my mind creates it to be cold, to feel cold, so I can relate to that. So when I want to get back there, I can make it cold in the room that I'm in. That reminds me of space. And then I can start to put on music that gets me excited and exhilarated. And that takes care of the familiar feeling in terms of my emotions. And then it's easy for me to go there. Okay, so returning now to the Earth's atmosphere, realizing that there is no reentry heat. It's just a wonderful experience. And you're entering the Earth's atmosphere, floating back down now, down toward the surface of the Earth. You're going to practice your smooth landing, floating down now. That's right. You can travel astrally down much more quickly than you will in your physical body because you are not subject to the laws of three-dimensional physics. There is not a terminal velocity that you'll reach. You can continue accelerating and travel as quickly as you want to the Earth's surface. And landing on the Earth's surface now smoothly and easily. Very good. So let's review what you've learned in this module. You've learned about astral travel through three-dimensional matter. Remember moving through a wall, traveling through the ground, traveling through water. You also know how to travel through metal. And any of these that you want to practice, I encourage you to practice them so that when you come across these substances in your astral journeys, they'll be non-events. You'll just pass right through them without even thinking about it. That's the power of practice. It becomes second nature. Realizing, of course, that you never do this in your physical body, never even attempt to do it in your physical body. These are only astral experiences. And we talked about astral traveling through land. Once you go beneath the surface, you can actually travel underground. And if you want to, you can travel through the entire Earth. And you can travel through any planet you want. So we also talked about traveling through space, elevating yourself, and then continuing going upward. Upward as we relate to directions in the three-dimensional world, moving outside of the atmosphere of the Earth, realizing that there's no difference. That's one of the things you should have experienced, no difference between how well you're able to breathe while in the Earth's atmosphere and how well you're able to breathe in space because you're not breathing at all. Your astral body is not breathing. Your physical body is safe at home breathing normally and regularly, but your astral body is not dependent upon air. So there's no difference in experience. Any difference that you noticed in breathing ability was something that your mind psychologically created. And if at any time during any of these experiences you feel uncomfortable, just come back down to Earth or return to your body. But then we talked about traveling from planet to planet or from the moon to other planets or from other planets to the moon. And realize that this is a lot of fun to do with groups. Meeting somewhere, traveling to other planets, visiting other galaxies, focusing perhaps on other solar systems, seeing for yourself if there are other species out there, other forms of life. I think you're going to be surprised. And I'm looking forward, by the way, to hearing from you. Let me know what you discover out there. So you have a variety of techniques. And really, it all comes down to you realizing that three-dimensional structures do not interfere with your four-dimensional experience. However, as we discussed, four-dimensional objects do, and you're going to experience them on this planet and on other planets. When you do, you can shape-shift yourself easily into a shape that will fit through that structure, because in your four-dimensional body, you are not going to go through that four-dimensional structure. If it's on the planet Earth and you walk through it with your three-dimensional body, then that's fine, that's easy to do. But in the fourth dimension, four-dimensional objects are solid to you. And so to get through them, you shapeshift. Now, a note on that. I mentioned shapeshifting so that you can go through a substance. In other words, spread out the particles of your four-dimensional body so that they can go through a three-dimensional object. This technique is not useful for going through four-dimensional objects. So let's say you come across a wall. There's a wall in front of you, a fourth-dimension wall, a wall in the fourth dimension, and you are in your astral body. The way to go through it is to look for a little opening in it. The technique of dispersing the particles of your four-dimensional body to go through that four-dimensional object is not to be used in that way. That's only for four-dimensional objects going through three-dimensional objects. And of course, three-dimensional objects are able to go through four-dimensional objects all the time. You can walk through astral walls with your physical body without realizing it. Some structures in the fourth dimension are not meant for you to go through. If there is an opening, then it's fine to go through it. If there's not, then there's a reason there's not, and you're not to go through it. This comes down to respect, being a respectful citizen of the astral world. This could very well be where an astral entity lives, or it could be housing something that you're not supposed to see. At the very least, it's blocking you from a place that you're not supposed to go. So respect that. Don't let curiosity get the best of you. Just walk around it. If there's an opening, fine, go through. If there's not, then respect that. That's something that's sealed off from you. There are plenty of other places to go and things to do in the astral world. So enjoy your travels. Enjoy your abilities as you grow, as you learn, as you become, as you explore. Continue moving forward. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have outstanding astral journeys.